Howdy, and welcome to the Ears Podcast, produced by Terrier TV. We are here for episode number 6. Mr. Curtis, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you. How about you?
Yeah, beautiful day, nice and warm. Flip-flops are definitely working, like always, and yeah, God is good. It is awesome. Miss Cindy, tell me, how are you doing?
I'm good.
I'm excited to ask, did the varmint control work?
It has. It hasn't been back.
Yeah, I had a good feeling about it.
I've been a little bored now, though.
How does that thing look pretty awesome by the pond?
It really does.
Is it spooky?
My dog doesn't like it.
There you go. It's working the way it's supposed to.
He keeps sitting there looking at it like, why? Why isn't it going anywhere?
Okay, that's good. I've noticed we almost have a mascot type word that we seem to use every episode now.
Varmint.
Yeah. Hey, if it works, varmint. It works, right?
I don't know. Varmint.
It is what it is. Yeah, so I guess yesterday I spent the day with Mr. Keith Winston of the Brevard Zoo. Him and his education coordinator, Zachary, went out with us, and we looked for snakes and kind of had a good day. It was a good time.
How many times did you get bit this time?
Yesterday, I took 0 bites because we didn't actually put our hands on any snakes per se. We saw lots of snakes. I think we saw 4 species of snake, but didn't necessarily put my grabbers on one. I didn't harass the wildlife.
I am proud of you.
Oh. Yeah, so that's which was a...
One day clean, right?
You're right. Yes.
It's one like day out of his element.
One day safe of not harassing the wildlife. So yeah, it was pretty good. So let's get to our guest today. We are joined by Mr. JT Hassel. How's it going, JT? Thank you for being here.
Great. Thank you guys for having me here. Kind of nervous talking about wildlife and stuff. You don't have no surprise snakes or spiders in the back, right? Alligators or
no, anything. It's just like I was telling you a little while ago. We all have our things. The same way you're worried about wildlife, I wouldn't want to go running into 11 guys that were trying to murder me at the same time. So,
I
will take the wildlife that I can kind of understand, that at least I think I understand, a lot better than, people worry me sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Especially large people. Yes, yeah, that want to like grab you and tackle you. Yeah.
Oh, not just large people. Large, very quick people.
Very athletic
fast.
People.
Fast.
I mean, the worst that could happen is you could break a bone, but see with the wildlife, what if there's a poisonous snake or spider?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So which ones, you know.
It's a cool story. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you had a cast on you, people could sign your cast and you could be like, let's check out my cast. But yeah, I don't know. It's to each their own, I reckon.
For sure.
To each their own, I reckon. So JT, you grew up here in Titusville, yes?
Yes, Titusville, Florida. Born and raised right there at Parish Hospital.
Okay.
Grew up here my whole life pretty much. My mom raised me and my brother. Went to Titusville High School. Very blessed to go here and, you know, went to school with a lot of great friends and great people.
Awesome. So tell us about life since high school here. What's been going on? What you've been up to? Tell us all the things.
Man, my life has been crazy. Like, literally, you never know what's next. I'm pretty sure you understand how it goes, you know, dealing with the wildlife and everything. But after high school, I went to Titusville High School my freshman year. I was getting into, you know, somewhat trouble here, not doing good in class and stuff. So I decided to transfer to Astronaut High School. And I finished my last 3 years there, excelled a lot on the field, not really too much off the field, in the classroom and everything. I didn't have the best grades coming out of high school, so I only had 1 D1AA offer out of high school. You know, I reached out to every school in the nation, D1 school, because everybody wants to go D1 no matter what sport you play, but reached out to every school, never heard nothing back. This one coach actually decided to take a shot on me, and I'm very thankful for him, you know, taking that shot and giving me the opportunity. And it was his name was Jimmy Rogers.
Okay.
And I was way in South Dakota State. I went to South Dakota State University.
That's a big change.
That's a
from
big
Florida.
Change.
Tell me about it. Yeah, I'm from here, palm trees and sun all the time. Then I go way out there. There's nothing out there. It's freezing cold. After my first year, you know, I'm telling my mom, like, I can't go back. I don't know, like, where else I got to go, but I can't go back there. It's horrible. But I ended up going back there my second year. You know, I was dealing with a lot of stuff mentally. And, you know, I had my son my last year of high school, 2014. And right after he was born, like a couple days after, I had to leave for summer workouts at South Dakota State. So, you know, dealing with that and just being away from home and, you know, I'm so used to being here, growing up here my whole life, it really hindered me mentally. So I ended up coming home to be closer to my son. I didn't really have a plan at the time. I worked two jobs. I worked at Industrial Steel, save a lot. All day, every day, I was tired, killing myself. I tried to get into UCF, couldn't get into UCF because I didn't have enough credits to get in. I ended up taking three classes at what they call now Eastern Florida State College. Passed those classes. I ended up getting into Florida Tech in Melbourne, down in Melbourne. Couldn't play my first year because of credits, but that year, just getting back on the football field was one of the best years of my life. And, you know, I was just, like I said, I was ineligible, so I could only practice. But, like, just being able to get back on the field and doing what I love, it made me so happy.
So football was kind of your escape from everything else?
Everything,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I was just so dedicated my whole life to football. You know, I kind of lost friends, lost some relationships with, you know, people that are close to me all because of football, just because I was so dedicated to it and put my whole heart into it, as I still do today. But I understand now that, you know, family is more important than anything.
What flipped that switch for you? What made that change?
It was my son.
Was it?
Yeah.
So I understand you're a proud man of faith. Yes, how does sir. That all play into all this?
Man, my faith is everything. Like, without God, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here today. You know, a lot of people I grew up with are either dead or in jail. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. And I have to recognize that just because I care about the youth. And, you know, God's kept me out the way from a lot of things. And I always kept God first. And it's hard to explain, but I'm just so thankful.
Yeah.
I'm just blessed, you know.
You mentioned that you care about the youth.
Yes, ma'am.
When Frank first told me, we're going to interview this guy.
Yes, ma'am.
He plays football. And I was like, I'm out. I have nothing to talk about. I don't know anything about sports. He's like, no, trust me, Google him. So I'm Googling. 2 minutes in, I'm like, Frank, we're interviewing him. We're doing it right now. You run a nonprofit here for kids.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about that.
Well, it started out, you know, football-based. When I first got in the NFL, I was like, okay, cool. I'm in the NFL. I want to teach kids how to get to the NFL. Then last year, around the time COVID hit and everything, I literally lost my mind. I had so much stuff going on. Really, it was a lot of built-up trauma from my past. And growing up, you know, I was born with a disability on my left hand, born with only two fingers on my left hand. Grew up single mom, just me and my brother. You know, like I said, at the time I had my son, like, just there was so much pressure on me in my life mentally. I didn't know how to channel that. And, you know, being a man, we're always taught to just be tough all the time. Like, you fall down, get up. There's nothing
man
wrong
up.
With you. Exactly, man up. So last year around that time, I was going through so much, you know, with the NFL and, you know, trying to spend time with my son more, spend time with my family, just manage everything. And I had a mental breakdown and I had panic attacks, like real panic attacks, not just like I'm stressed out, but like real panic attacks where I'm driving myself to the hospital at 2 a.m. thinking I'm having a heart attack.
It's a terrible feeling.
No, it really is. It's a real thing. And that's kind of what turned me into that side of the nonprofit things.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I remember people used to tell me that all the time. You know, like they'd say they were having panic attacks, and it's something
right.
you can't physically see necessarily. Mm-hmm. And you're like, how bad can a panic attack actually be? And then you finally go through one.
Man,
you don't want to wish that on anybody. It's something you
it's
can't even
thing.
Really put
yeah.
into words.
Yep.
It's like you're being buried alive.
Oh my gosh,
you can't do anything. You can't stop it.
The worst thing I've ever been, and I've been through a lot of things in life, but I would never wish that on anybody. And it just got me thinking, like, the only way to get through that anxiety disorders and stuff like that is to understand it first. So I had to go do my research and understand it. Then it made me think, like, how many other people are going through this? How many kids are dealing with these type of things and don't know, because if you're 8 years old, 10 years old, and you're going having panic attacks, you don't know what's going on. You're just thinking you're dying.
Yeah, especially if you have nobody looking out for you.
Yeah, and going to school, like, imagine how hard that is for a kid going through that and having to go to school every day.
So I've been noticing here recently, you know, for a while now, you've been going to different schools, different churches, yes, sir, different things like that. Is that some of the stuff you're talking to the kids about? So tell us about that and about the, you know, the purpose of your nonprofit and what it is you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. So basically my nonprofit is to acknowledge, empower, and educate the youth, even adults, on mental health. So like when I go to the schools and stuff and churches and all that, you know, I tell people my story first, but also help them realize, because when they see me and they hear I'm coming to talk to them, they don't care about anything I'm talking about. All they care about is this NFL famous guy is coming in here. But, you know, I want to let them know that I'm a relatable person. I'm just like them. I go through the same stuff they go through, sometimes different stuff, obviously. But I'm just a regular person at the end of the day. We're all humans and we all go through stress and all those things. And mental health is so important.
And how important for those kids to get to hear that somebody like you, somebody they look up to, somebody yes, they want to be like, you've been there too. You know what it's like.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, that I'm in this position to be able to do that. And like I said, like my faith has carried me to do this. You know, football is awesome and it was a great stepping stone in my life and I'm still playing, but I can really sit here and tell you that my purpose is to help the youth and just help people and give back.
You know, I can tell that because when I was Google stalking you, I was looking. I'm good at it. I was trying to find interviews because I need to know people's personalities. Oh, yeah, I need to know how to talk. And the first interview I found, it was during some game, some sporting event. I imagine. You were in a uniform. That tells me it was a game. And this woman hands you the microphone, and not 5 seconds in, you were already talking about that nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of a sporting event, that's where your focus was.
Because it's just your heart. It's so important to me. And just understanding that mental health is, because you have to think, kids nowadays, it's not like when we were growing. I mean, y'all are maybe a little older than me. Not calling you old or anything, but.
What are you trying to say?
All right, just joking. But. But kids nowadays have to deal with so much with social media in school. Just there's so many things out there and so many distractions. And, you know, kids are on social media all day looking at people that aren't really living the lives that these kids think they are. And it's putting a lot of pressure on these kids. And like, think about last year when COVID hit, some of these kids were at home all year for school. Like, that's tough.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about. And there is a disconnect with a lot of people between people that have that fancy blue check mark beside their name and thinking that they're living a totally different lifestyle when everybody's in the same battle, just kind of looking at it from different directions, right?
Right, and that's what made me so like honored to be able to do this. And you know, at that time when I had the panic attacks and went through that anxiety stuff, like I still take medicine today for it because I still sometimes it still bothers me a little bit, but just, you know, understanding that I can be the person to help other people that are going through this. I think that was, you know, I thank God every day for those times. Even though it was like the roughest time of my life, I thank God for those days because, you know, now I can be the person to tell them my story and they can relate to me.
There's two ways to take it, right? You either let it break you or it makes you stronger and it builds something out of you.
Yes, sir.
And you took the path where it made you focus on your faith and you started looking at how you can help other people.
Yes, sir. That's pretty much been my whole life. You know, I've been through things that you probably, if I told you, and you wouldn't probably believe me, but you know, that's really been my whole life, is just bend, don't break.
So what is the, you know, you're going out and you're talking to these kids. Yes, how are you trying to, from there, are you keeping a relationship going or a contact thing going with them, or what are you doing from there?
Right. So right now in my business plan, we have a mentorship program that allows us to keep up with the kids and keep up with mood tracking and all that stuff. And I'm working on it right now, but on my website, I'm going to have something, you know, where I check in every day. So the kids can see my mood every day because I'm not happy every day as soon as I wake up. You know what I mean? Like, and they need to see that. Like, I'm not a person that's going to fake myself every day and lie to myself, because that's most important, as some of us do every day.
Yeah, it's important to be real with people. I've learned that too. When you can't go tell people every day that you're feeling good and everything's going great, mm-hmm. when sometimes it's not. I know you've went through surgery this year too, and you've had your challenges.
See, we didn't even get to that part.
Yeah,
like I said, my life is so crazy. I could just sit here all day, and
we all have our journeys. It's a matter of what you do with the journey.
Yes, sir.
Yep. So tell us about your NFL career. What got you to where you're at?
Yes, sir.
Yep. By all means.
What got me to where I'm at is obviously faith first. Sorry, and then just being dedicated to doing something that I love. Like when I was in high school and stuff, like, yeah, I had my fun and did this and that. But like when it came time to football, like I was dedicated. I was at the gym every day after school. Sometimes I would skip class to go down to the gym and work out. Like if you ask anybody around Titusville that knows me, they'll tell you, like, I always put football first no matter what. And then my career in the NFL, like even that's been crazy for me. Like most people don't know, like they think I just got in the NFL and made $100 million, but it didn't work out that way for me. I'm blessed to get in the NFL, even though I went in undrafted. I spent time with the Browns my first year. I was on practice squad for 12 weeks, so that was rough mentally. And then I finally got a shot to play in the last four games of the season, and that went very well. Then after that, I came back, and, COVID happened and everything, but we had training camp, and I ended up getting cut by the Browns. So that was rough mentally. And then I was at home for 12 weeks that year. So, at that time, I'm scrambling mentally. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm ever going to play football again. I don't know if I should go get a job, if I should keep working out. Like, financially, my funds are starting to go down. I'm not making as much as I used to make. So it's just like mentally all this stuff is going on. Finally, I get a call from the New England Patriots on Thanksgiving Day, trying to spend time with my family stuff. Get a call from them. They fly me out the next morning, end up on their practice squad. The next week, I get a call from the Jets, say that they want to sign me to the active roster. My first game with them, I'm playing against the Los Angeles Rams, just won the Super Bowl at their stadium. First game, I block a punt. We win the game, get the game ball. Now I'm thinking, okay, like I'm back in the game. I'm making plays. Finally, like I get all this pressure off of me. Next year, I come back, have a great preseason, pretty much starting. Still end up getting cut. Then I'm at home for like 3 or 4 weeks. I have a workout with the Carolina Panthers. And then as I'm working out, I was coming down with the ball, twisted my arm wrong, tore my tricep and my UCL in my elbow. So now I'm out. I was out for this whole last season. So like I said, like it hasn't been roses for me. But, I just think if I stay consistent and keep going as I did my whole life, whether it is football or not football, like I will be successful.
So you were talking about, in high school you struggled. Mm-hmm. You changed high schools. You went to San Diego or South Dakota.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I'm thinking of letters with S and D. You get what kept flipping the switch for you between all those things? What kept you going through all of it?
Honestly,
tell us about your drive,
Yes, sir. Obviously God first always, but my drive was my son. It's hard for me to, explain it, but when you're a parent, you can't sit there and tell your kid to do something that you never did, or try to motivate them, but you're not a motivated person.
Yeah.
And I always been a person that, I never talked about what I did. I just led by example. So, and I want my son to be better than me. And that's anything I do, like just being a good person, respecting people, just your character, or even if he decides to play football, like, dedicating everything to that and always putting God first. But that was my drive. If it wasn't for my son, I don't think, I would have made it to the NFL.
That's pretty awesome.
Now, you love football.
Yes, sir.
Now, what is it when you play the game? And it might be hard to put this into words.
Yes, sir.
But what is it about it when you're on the field and you're playing the game that just clicks with you?
I think it's just, it's crazy because I had to talk. I had this talk with my friend the other day, and I texted him and I said, you know what's crazy? I don't think it's the sport itself, but I think it's just the freedom to, you know, be outside and be free and being able to laugh and smile and just have fun. And, you know, because when I was a kid, I never cared. You know, when you're a kid, you don't care about money and business and politics and all that stuff. You just want to go outside and play with your friends. And, you know, that's what I always remember when I was young, like playing football with my friends and just having fun. Now it's, you know, there's so much, it's my job. As anybody's job, you know, is business. And there's money involved. So it changed a lot for me. But
you're still having fun with it?
Yeah, for sure. If I don't, then I'm just going to be done playing.
Yeah, I know a lot of, I think, you know, again, I'm not a professional sports player by any means. Mm-hmm. But you can tell a lot of the guys, it seems like they lose that passion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And everything just kind of falls away. And
yes, sir.
You hear people talk about there being that passion in high school and college, and it's just not there in pro ball. Yep. I'm sure the chemistry changes a lot, yeah?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because you're in there, no matter where you come from, you know, everybody that's there can play football. So you might be five-star recruit out of high school. You might have won the Heisman in college, but when you get in the NFL, you know, everybody's that good.
Yeah, that's a lot. So you played safety?
Yes, sir. Okay. I played in high school. I played linebacker and long snapper. I pretty much did everything in high school.
Wow.
Scoring touchdowns at tight end. In college, I pretty much played linebacker also, more like nickelback. And then I get to the NFL and they're like, well, you're kind of undersized to play linebacker, so you need to switch to safety. I'm like, how am I going to do that? You know what I'm saying? But what really has kept me in the game is special teams.
Which is literal insanity.
Yes, sir. Yeah, because literally, yeah. Like you have one play. It's all about opportunity. Like you have one play, you know, to go make something happen.
So would you play gunner? Would you play?
Yeah, I played gunner. Like I said, I blocked the punt last year against the Rams. I played a couple of different positions on special teams. But, like, it's crazy because in Little League, I blocked punts. You know, in high school, I blocked punts. And in NFL, I blocked punts. So
it followed over.
Yeah, so just like I said earlier, you know, being consistent and staying true to yourself and your grind, because when I first got in the NFL, you know, I came out of Florida Tech and I broke almost every record you could think of there. And I'm not bragging at all. I'm the most humblest person, you know, you'll ever meet. But when I got there, you know, I was thinking I was going to play and, you know, do all this and that. But, you know, I was humbled real fast. And, you know, I'm thankful for that.
What number did you wear? Did you
40.
Wear
the... Did
you wear the same one all the way through or no?
Nah, so I wore number one all the way up to the NFL.
Okay, and what'd you wear in the NFL?
49. And they just kind of picked that for me. I didn't really get to pick.
That was when numbers were still making sense, because now numbers in the NFL don't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
You wide receivers used to have a certain set of numbers. They'd be between, 80 and 89, and then maybe 1 and 19.
Yeah.
And DBs were a certain set. Now everybody can be whatever they want to. And
yeah, it's crazy.
I like looking at something and understanding what's going on. And now you, like, number 6 playing cornerback? What's going on? I'm so confused. There was order to it, and they lost the order. But anyhow, I digress.
But, yeah, when I first got in the NFL, you know, it was hard for me because, like, I always knew who I was on the field, but I felt like I lost some of my – like some of my swag out there because I was on practice squad. You know, I'm so used to, like I said, I came from Florida Tech, like breaking records and stuff. And, you know, I was just so used to doing that. But then I wasn't playing and then I was on practice squad. So it kind of like hindered me mentally, if that makes sense to you.
For those that don't know, explain what the practice squad is, because I don't think many people understand that there's actually a team separate of the team.
Exactly. So there's a 53-man roster, and there is a 16-man practice squad. So when you're on the practice squad, basically you do everything and anything they ask you to do. So you don't play in the games or any of that, and you have to do everything they say. So it's not that fun.
You're the crash dummy?
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. That's the way I always looked at it. You're the expendable person they can go put in the car and crash into the wall, and if you get hurt that day, then they'll call somebody else up. It'll be okay.
Literally, that's how – yeah, it's a business. But, yeah, like I said, like mental health, man, like that was a lot of pressure on me too. You know, my first year being in the NFL, like especially coming from Titusville, like nobody really makes it out of here. So, you know, I got a lot of pressure on me. It's like everybody knows I'm in the NFL now. Like people are calling every day. you know, I haven't played in one game in like 12 weeks. So mentally, you know, I'm hurting.
I got you. Tell us about your event that's coming up on March the 12th.
Yes, sir. It is a football camp event, but it's based on mental health. It's called Smile From Within, second annual one. Last year, we had about 120 kids there.
Okay.
This year, we already have 250 kids signed up.
Wow.
Yeah, already. And it's crazy. We have over 40 vendors. Last year, we had like 12 vendors. We're going to have Titusville Police Department out there. We're going to have the fire truck out there. We're going to have a bounce obstacle course. It's like 60 feet. The kids will be able to run through it with the NFL players and stuff. Also, we're going to have like 10 other NFL players there. Free food, free ice cream, free drinks, live DJ. I can't even think of everything.
I love everything about this.
We're going to have the alligator out there.
Yep, I'm gonna come see if I can harass the kids the way I normally harass wildlife. Yeah, in a good way. Show them
small
an alligator.
Small horse. Yeah. There's just like so many things, you know. And
that's
it's
it.
Really,
that's at Gibson, yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
At Gibson Field. Sorry about that.
No worries.
It's from 1 to 5.
Okay.
How can the community support you? What help do you need? What can we do?
Right now, we're just looking for more volunteers. We pretty much got everything squared away, but more volunteers would help us. Obviously, as we're probably going to have 300 kids out there, so.
If people want to find out more about the event or your nonprofit in general, yes, what's the website? Where do they go?
It is hasslefoundation.net.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Do people that want to support the nonprofit have an opportunity on the website to donate?
Yes, ma'am. It is on there also.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome website.
Changing it all the time. And like I said earlier, like I'm creating a thing on there now to where I check in every day. Then the kids, you know, they can check out. It's giving them an outlet to go on there and, you know, be able to express themselves. Because like when I was a kid, I didn't want to talk to my mom about what I was going through. I would always talk to my friends, though. So.
And the thing is, for a lot of those kids, you might be the only opportunity where they feel like somebody is checking in on them.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's a great cause. You're doing a great thing. And like I told you before when we talked, you know, we appreciate what you're doing. It makes a huge difference.
Yes, sir.
I think we'll do a little bit of trivia. You guys want to do some trivia?
Oh, yes. Yep, there we trivia. Go. Oh, you missed trivia last week.
You did miss trivia. You would have probably known all of them, too.
Maybe.
I think you would have known all of them.
The thing is, they were movies, right? It was movie-based?
They were movie-based, yep.
So you've probably never, you've never heard, my best friend Aaron has an entire ongoing list of movies I've never seen that she finds it absolutely unacceptable. I've never seen.
She makes you watch them?
She does.
Good for her.
Yeah,
good
shout out. Her. Shout out to Aaron. That's pretty awesome.
Most of them are probably on it. If it's like an iconic American movie that everyone has, I've probably not seen it.
There was only one John Wayne movie. I think you could call
it.
I
haven't seen it.
Iconic. Anything, yeah. John Wayne, yeah, has to be iconic, I think.
Can I ask what your favorite movie is?
Oh, Lord. Wow. That put me on the spot.
Yeah,
let me
know.
Think. Favorite movie. Wow.
What's yours?
Yeah.
Ace Ventura.
That's Jamma.
That's where I learned everything I know about football.
Fire Marshal Bill did come up last week. Yeah. Fire Marshal Bill did come up last week, so that's kind of funny you say that. That was Jim Carrey at his finest. I rewatched some of those before we had the interview last week. I forgot how disturbingly hilarious that actually was. I mean, it was disturbing, but there was some funny stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Good He's a great
grief.
Actor.
He is. And he blew himself up like a dozen times in those and caught himself on fire. And
yeah, he did it all.
Yeah, burned himself with hot oil.
His interviews are really good, too.
Yeah, the guy's hilarious.
The funniest part of this for me is one of my friends was like, how are you going to talk to an NFL player? And I literally said, I've seen Ace Ventura. Like,
did you really?
I can't believe this is happening.
You're going to have to let me think about the favorite movie thing. Oh, that's a struggle. I don't know why that's a struggle to me all of a sudden, but
there's so many good movies out there.
Yeah, there really is. Wow.
Best movie ever made.
I knew you were going to come up with something.
The Outlaw Josie Wales.
That was a good one.
Never seen it.
1976.
It's pretty old school.
Yeah, that's way ahead of my
time. Spaghetti Western.
No, if you get a chance, it's on Netflix. And it's if you got time, you know, it's got a lot of quotable lines in it.
Okay, awesome.
It's, you know, Clint Eastwood. It's a Western.
Right.
It's a good movie.
Man, he's still thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out.
I don't like committing to one answer. Like,
Yeah, I don't know. I'm struggling with that one. I don't know where to go with it. Okay,
hit us with some trivia then.
Sorry to put you in.
No, it's great. It's a great question. Now I'm going to be thinking about that for the rest of the day and trying to figure out what my answer would be. Like when I was a kid, I was a big fan of E.T.
He'll send you
E.T.
a text tomorrow and tell you what it is.
Yeah, E.T. was the jam when I was a kid. So if I'm going to go old school, E.T. was pretty jam up.
There you go.
That was a pretty cool movie. So, yeah, I don't know. Okay, so this this is sports trivia, but it's not like you think, Cindy, so don't freak out too much. All right, number one. Which sport has the lightest balls?
Ooh.
Ping pong?
It is ping pong.
Ooh,
nice,
yes.
Yeah,
the lady
nice.
Who knows
right
nothing
there.
About sports.
I got
there
one.
You go. There you got it.
Okay, number two. What is the fastest human in sports, ignoring any mechanically assisted motions? So nothing that's mechanical. What sport can a human go the fastest that's in something that's not mechanical?
Track.
Nope, it's more than track. So I'll give you, for instance, skydiving, which is considered a sport. People can get up to 135 miles an hour. It's faster than that.
What is faster than falling out of a plane?
Does it have to deal with snow?
It does.
Wow.
You're right there. You're right there.
Oh. What is it called? Sled?
Oh, that's a great guess. You're thinking of the people that said
like
the bobsled.
The luge.
Yeah.
There's another thing I was watching on TV.
That's all on right now, isn't it? Is that the Olympics still on?
Olympics, yeah.
Yeah.
They wear the skis and then they like fly. Is that what it's called?
It's downhill skiing. Yeah, downhill skiers. They can reach 155 miles an hour.
That's insane.
Yeah, I'll just stick the football on that.
Yeah, again, not built for it. Number three. Who is the only person in NBA history to be named MVP, Coach of the Year, and Executive of the Year? It's a name you know, even though you don't know sports.
I don't want to say it and be wrong. No, I'm not going to say it.
Pat Riley.
No, great guess.
No?
No. It's a name. It's actually somebody that's more well-known than him.
Is it Michael Jordan?
Somebody, I was going to say that.
Somebody that was right there with Michael Jordan.
I have no idea.
Somebody that played against Michael Jordan. That's just as well-known as he is. It's Larry Bird.
Mm.
Really?
Yes. Yep. Oh, yeah, because he was in the front office of the Pacers.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. It was MVP, Coach of the Year, and Executive of the Year.
Okay.
All right, here we go. What college football position receives the Jim Thorpe Award?
Safety.
Defensive back, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, indeed. I knew you had that one. That was a layup for you.
I feel like he had the unfair upper hand on that one. Just saying.
I tried to give him some time to let other people answer.
I saw him smile. He's like, I 100% got this. Number five, what was the first sport televised in the United States? It was May the 17th of 1939.
Baseball.
I was going to say that.
It was baseball.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate the Cubs jersey. Yeah. That's epic. Sure. I love it a lot. It makes me very happy. Makes me smile inside. Number six, who was the only college football player to win the Heisman Trophy twice?
I think I actually should know. It was a Gator player, right?
Nope. He played for.
Were you thinking Tim Tebow?
No.
that's funny. That would be a good guess, though. He played for Ohio State and then was drafted by the Bengals and played, I think, 7 or 8 seasons for them. I want to say it was in the 70s. 77, maybe? See. Yeah.
Don't know.
Archie Griffin. Only player to win the Heisman twice.
Okay.
Yeah. Weird random facts. Well, that's about all I got. You guys have anything else crazy going on this week?
No, I'm good. What about?
I do not. Nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm heading out of town the 3rd, so I'm out of here. I'm out of here next week. Yeah, I'm out of here next week to go harass wildlife in Chicago. Not true. That was a couple of years ago. I harassed wildlife in Chicago. That's right. Not recently.
That's a whole nother story.
That is a whole nother story. JT, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you guys.
We
so much.
Enjoyed you being here. Tell us again when the event is and where and your website, please.
It is March 12th from 1 to 5 at the Gibson Youth Center, and you can register your kids or go check out the website at hasselfoundation.net.
Yep, come by for sure. Say howdy. Great cause. We really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you
a bunch. And hope to see you again soon.
Yes, sir.
We'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.
one job.